I always loved the line by Greg Louganis. He was an Olympic diver and was winning gold medals at Seoul and Barcelona, an American diver. And he was once asked, "What's your secret of success?" Because he was known as being just sort of ice cold and clinical. And he'd just nail the dive in the final in order to win the gold medal. "How do you do it, Greg?" he was asked in an interview. And he said, "It's simple. I climb to the top of the 10-meter diving board. I remind myself my mother loves me. And I dive." And I think it's a beautiful portrait, really, of, is there an unconditional love that secures me and that then frees me in order to perform? You know, Debbie talking about at Beijing, looking for mum and dad. Where's mum and dad? Even though we haven't got the medal we wanted, actually, if mum and dad are there, it's going to be okay. Is there a relationship that is so secure that it can free you when you fail, and it can actually inspire you to perform? Is there such a relationship? And I'd love us to pick up John's Gospel and turn to page 43, actually. So these books are John's Gospels, part of the Bible. Here is a biography of Jesus. You might know that the New Testament kicks off with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these four Gospels, these four biographies of Jesus. And if you want to investigate the Jesus that Debbie has been talking about, this is the best way to do it. Here is this first century source. Here's the source material for investigating the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to draw your attention to one sentence. Something that Jesus said the night before he died. And if you look towards the very end of page 43, there's a little number 24. That means verse 24. Jesus is praying. And he says, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Debbie said a number of times how often an elite sports person thinks of their sport as life. It is their very life, their very reason to exist. And I remember when I was age 20, my mother bought me a T-shirt for my birthday. And the T-shirt just said, "Cricket is life. The rest is mere detail." You probably saw me flinching at Debbie describing the aerobic activity involved in rowing. Now you know why, because I'm a cricketer. And we just, if anything elevates our heart rate, we're out of there. This is not what cricket is about, okay? Brushing my teeth is about as aerobic as I ever like to get, which is why cricket is perfect for me. I love playing cricket. And age 20, I was spending 6 days a week on the cricket field, just chasing a little red ball around a field. And many of you are thinking, that is a ridiculous waste of time. And if you are thinking that way, you're probably right. I've always liked Groucho Marx's line about cricket. He was once taken to Lord's cricket ground to watch the first day of an Ashes test match. And after watching for an entire hour, he turns to his host and says, "And when is the actual game beginning?" that's kind of cricket. But I loved it. Cricket was life. The rest is mere detail. And I remember playing so much cricket, it was ridiculous. And I just desperately wanted to get into the Wisden Cricketing Almanac. That was my glory. This verse speaks about glory. And perhaps we can think of Olympic glory. What was glory for me as a cricketer? I just wanted to get into this Wisden Cricketing Almanac. If you're a cricket tragic like me, you'll know what it is. It's this compendium of all the most important cricket matches that have happened that year from around the world, mainly first-class cricket and international cricket. And I desperately wanted to get into the Wisden Cricketing Almanac, and I can tell you people, I have arrived, because I myself, I'm not saying I'm an Olympic medalist. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that I am in the 136th edition of the Wisden Cricketing Almanac. I'm on page 886. My name is about two-thirds of the way down in six-point font, and it's misspelt. And actually, this was a big part of me coming to faith, because cricket was life. Cricket was life. Cricket was life. Cricket was life. And when it doesn't really happen for you, you realize that you've invested something in life and it's failed you. It's become this god in your life. And then this god has kind of tumbled and fallen. And what are you? if you're not a good cricketer, right? You must be a terrible person if cricket is life. And I remember actually starting to open up the Gospels at this stage. I was desperately trying to play at Lord's, desperately trying to play the varsity cricket match against Cambridge. That was my big dream, and just fell one game short. And it actually drew me back to the Gospels. I started reading through them and trying to figure out, what is life? If cricket isn't life, what is life? And I actually discovered in Jesus someone who is so much more magnificent than sport. Someone who could hold my attention. Someone who had a weight to him that I could lean on. Cricket was like leaning on, I don't know, sinking sand. Jesus had a weight to him. He had a glory. I don't know if you know that. That's what glory means. Glory is a weightiness, a substance to it. Something that you can really base your life on. And as I read through the Gospels, like John's Gospel, I started to realize, you know, if Jesus is what God is like, I'm in. Count me in. I want this Jesus because he is life. And the rest is mere detail. Which means when I succeed, I'm not going to get too big a head because cricket's not life. And when I fail, I'm not going to be despairing because cricket's not life. Jesus is life. And notice here in verse 24, as Jesus is praying before the Father, he tells us what real glory is. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Here's what glory is according to Jesus. According to Jesus, there is an ultimate Father who loves his most worthy son. Jesus claims to be that son. And there's like this Niagara Falls of love and blessing that is pouring from the Father to the Son. Can you imagine this Niagara Falls, the Spirit just being poured out onto the Lord Jesus? According to the Bible, that's what was there before the world began. Before the world began, there was a fountain of life and light and love. Jesus was in the middle of that overflowing fountain. The Father just loving him and booming out his pride and joy over his son. I don't know what your favorite moment from 2012 was. As an Australian, I didn't have too many favorite moments from 2012. So much so that actually, I think I've told you this before, but I think it's worth repeating. But my favorite moment from 2012 actually came from a South African, which is extraordinarily gracious from an Australian point of view to be cheering on a South African. But there was this swimmer called Chad Laclos. Do you remember this guy? And he was in the 200 meter butterfly. He was up against his childhood hero, Michael Phelps. And he gets to the final, and in the 200 meter butterfly, he beats Michael Phelps. And he gets the gold medal. He gets the world record. It's pandemonium in the pool. And perhaps you'll start to remember this moment now, because at that moment, Claire Balding from the BBC, she picked up a microphone and she went and found Bert Laclos, this gruff South African, the father of Chad Laclos. And she tried to conduct this interview with Bert Laclos and tried to talk to him about, you know, his son. And you should look this up on YouTube. It is glory, okay? It is literally glory. Because Claire Balding says, So, Chad Laclos, has butterfly always been his stroke? And Bert Laclos is just over the moon. He says, oh, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Look at my boy. I love him. Mwah, mwah. And Claire just tries to get things back on track. And has it been a long road to Beijing? He says, oh, he's unbelievable. Unbelievable. My beautiful boy. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. And he says the word unbelievable 9 times in 90 seconds, which is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable, right? Jesus says here, there is an almighty unbelievable that has always boomed out of heaven. There is a Father who has always loved his Son from even before the world began. That's glory, right? This almighty unbelievable, a Father loving his Son Jesus in the joy of the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's what you're made for. You're made to hear that verdict. You're made to experience that love. You're made to be a part of that glory. And everything else, even Olympic glory, is just a pale reflection, a pale imitation, a shadow of true glory. True glory is to know a Father who booms out pride and praise and joy and love for you. True glory is to join Jesus in this Niagara Falls of blessing and love, to know who you are as a true son, a true daughter in this family, to know yourself to be securely loved. You see, Jesus wants people to be with him where he is and to share in this love that both predated and produced the universe. That's what you're made for. The trouble is, all of us try to pursue this thing in ridiculous substitutes, like cricket. Ridiculous. If anything is mere detail, it's that, right? But we're always doing it. We're always seeking after glory. We can't help it. We've been made for glory. We've been made for love, but we look for love in all the wrong places. We look for a sense of identity in all the wrong places. And as we turn our backs on where true glory is found, we end up harming ourselves. There's an old story in the Old Testament. God says, I'm like a fountain of living waters, he says in Jeremiah chapter 2, the old prophet. He says, I'm like a fountain of living waters, and my people take a shovel to dry ground. They ignore me, the fountain of living waters, and they dig for themselves broken wells that cannot hold water. That is what we are like. God is overflowing with light and life and love, overflowing with glory and satisfaction. And we say, eh, whatever. I'm really going to focus on this. And it proves to be a broken well. We get a few little bits of water out of it, but at the end of the day, we've ended up with a mouthful of mud. That's the human condition, looking for love in all the wrong places. And I wonder what it is for you. What's on your t-shirt? For me, cricket was life. The rest is mere detail. What is it for you? What is life? There's a very easy way to diagnose that question. You know, what is it in your life that if you lost that thing, you wouldn't want to live? That diagnoses it, doesn't it? If you lost this thing and you think, well, life is no longer worth living, what is that thing? That thing is your life, right? Obvious. That thing is your life. The trouble is, that thing cannot give you life. You cannot lean on it. You cannot be satisfied by it. It will not slake your thirst. It's a broken well. So what does Jesus do? Jesus comes into a world that's thirsty, dying of thirst, disconnected from the life of God. And of course, we don't want to remain disconnected from the life of God, do we? If we're disconnected from the life of God, we're perishing. That's a big word in John's gospel. Perishing. Disconnected, no life within us. And Jesus comes into this kind of life and he says, look, you don't want to get stuck in perishing life forever, do you? You don't want to be disconnected from God forever, do you? Because to be disconnected from the God of light and life and love means to be disconnected from all those things. It means to live in death and darkness and disconnection. You don't want to remain there forever, do you? Everyone lives somewhere forever. You don't want to get stuck there forever. So Jesus comes down into this disconnection. And he comes to us and he says, you know what? I want you to be where I am. I want you to stand where I'm standing and to come home to the fountain of living waters. That's what I want for you. And you know how much he wants that? You see, he doesn't just say, I want you to stand where I am. He says to us, I'm going to stand where you are. This is the night before Jesus dies. You know what happens the next day? The next day, Jesus stands in the place of darkness and death and disconnection. He says, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty, he says on the cross. Here he is, this fountain of living waters, and he goes thirsty. Do you know what he's doing? He's entering into our pain and death. He's entering into our hell on that cross, going thirsty on the cross. And then as he dies, they thrust a spear up into his side, and what comes out of his side? Blood and water. Medically, we know that what that is, just sort of heart plasma that just comes out, but theologically, biblically, you know what that is? It's telling us a story. Jesus goes thirsty so you can drink. He enters into our pain so we can have his satisfaction. He comes into our hell so that we can have his heaven. This is how much he wants us to come home. He would stand where we're standing so that we can stand where he's standing. Jesus on the cross has his arms wide open to the world saying, come home. I love you more than your own life. I'll take your hell to give you my heaven. And he rises up again and he says to each one of us, do you want to come home? Come home. Join the joy. Share in my glory. And anyone who simply trusts in Jesus, who simply says, I want to stand where you're standing, Jesus. I want to be with you. Anyone who says that to Jesus, instantly you get his Father as your Father. You get his Spirit filling you. You get his verdict pronounced on your life. You get his eternal future as your eternal future. It's for free and it's forever. Do you want that? Or do you want to live with the mere trivia of these broken wells? These broken wells will never satisfy you. Jesus will. Will you come home? Will you come home to the love of Jesus? I'm just going to offer an opportunity here for anyone. If you want to come home to this love, if you've thought to yourself, you know what, I've made other things into my life, and I need to make them second. Yeah, I need to make Jesus first. I need to make those other things second. Because when you put him first, then you're living for true glory. Then you have a weight, a substance to you. Then, like Greg Louganis, you can think to yourself, well, my Father loves me. I can dive, right? Do you want this, Jesus? Can we all just bow our heads right now? And I'd just love to lead us in a prayer. It's a prayer you can say if you've known Jesus all your life, but it's particularly a prayer if you want to come home to Jesus now, if you want to experience his love now. It's a prayer that just says, Jesus, I want to stop living for those other things. I want to stop digging those broken wells, and I want to come home to you. You can echo this in your heart if you like. Lord Jesus, I have lived for so many other things. But you are life. I'm sorry for trying to make life work on my own. I'm sorry for that selfishness and sin. Thank you for standing where I'm standing. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for taking my sin on yourself. And thank you for rising again to give me life. May I know your Father's love. May I know your Spirit's filling. And may I know you as number one in life as I walk with you through this life and into eternity. Amen. Well, if you've particularly prayed a prayer like that, perhaps for the first time, I'd love to have a chat with you. And we'd love if you could make yourself known to perhaps the person who brought you, or myself, or Will, or... perhaps could give you a little book to keep you going in the Christian life, a book about Jesus giving us the great love story. But I'd love to offer that to you, shake you by the hand and help you in the Christian life. And if you have wanted to come home to Jesus, then a great thing to do would be to join a course called Life Explored. This is also a course for you if you're just, you're not ready perhaps to trust in Jesus yet, you've got questions, but this is a fantastic course to go through the basics of the Christian faith. We're going to run it starting on Monday, May the 8th. It will feed you. You can ask any question of us you like. We won't put you on the spot by asking you any tricky questions. But it's just a space that you can make for yourself in your life in order to explore the things that really matter. I'm going to hand back to Will now. Thanks.